and welcome everyone today to Policy Perspective. It is a podcast produced by the Children's Education Alliance of Missouri. You can follow us on Twitter at Seam Official. Those are our initials, C-E-A-M, at Seam Official. Today's date is October 24th. I am Peter Franzen, Director of Development with the Children's Education Alliance. And today, again, is our State Policy Director, Kate Casas. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Peter.
And today on the phone, we have Mike Malone. Mike is with South City Prep. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. So today's topic is charter school accountability and oversight. And we have Mike on the phone today because it relates to his school down there and what happened. Maybe we'll just get right into it. Mike, tell us a little bit about what recently happened with South City Prep and sort of the implications of what happened.
Right. So at the October board meeting, the state board deemed our school and four other charter schools the term financially stressed, meaning our ending fund balance on June 30th was less than the 3% threshold required in state law. It's a law that's existed for a number of years with districts as a whole, and charter schools for the first year were also held to the 3% threshold standard.
So
what's interesting about our school and the other charter schools that were deemed this is all of us have been open for less than 3 years, as compared to districts and most of the other charter schools in the state, which have existed for 10, 15, 20, 50, 100 years if it's a district.
Right.
So we had less than a 3% threshold. We had actually around 1%.
Right.
Surplus, and we're deemed financially stressed by the State Board of Education. Came out in the newspaper with all the other state board news that comes out.
Right. Yeah. We just did an earlier podcast about the St. Louis Public Schools that came out of that meeting as well. So just kind of if people are doing the math, we're really talking about maintaining some kind of financial operating reserve. If you have $1 million budget, there needs to be at least $30,000, 3% at the end of the year. Is that the gist of what you're saying?
Yeah, that's the gist of it. And obviously, as we look at ourselves strategically over the next 5 to 10 years, maintaining the 3% fund balance is really the floor of what we want. It doesn't make sense. We want to have more than that. In fact, our budget over the next 3 to 5 years, including this year, projects 10 to 15% fund balance.
Now,
so that's our projection going forward. But in year one, it was tight for a number of reasons.
Now, let me ask Kate. This is sort of the first time I'm hearing about this. In fact, in our work at the Children's Education Alliance, it seems like one of the issues that has come up relates to accountability with charter schools. Why is Mike's school experiencing this now?
Well, I'll let Mike talk about specifically what is happening at South City Prep. But in general, and I think most education advocates would agree that it was a good thing that in the last legislative session, there was a law passed that both allows for charter schools to expand outside of the St. Louis and Kansas City region, but also sort of raise the bar on accountability of those charter schools. And the impetus of that was in a lot of ways the closing of the Imagine Academies. And one of the things the Imagine Academies was often criticized for was their financial oversight. And so this was an attempt to get a better handle on the finances of charter schools, as well as are in the same way that the state tries to have a handle on the finances of school districts. A few of the things that we know to be true about charter schools that is not true of public schools is there's a lot of front-end cost. Charter schools cannot issue bonds like public schools do. So if a public school is going to open a new charter school or a new school, they can issue a bond. They don't have to use their operating capital to open that, to build that school or rehab that school or whatever, whereas a charter school might. They already have students coming to their school, so the fact they don't get paid for students until much later than the student arrives isn't always an issue for public schools. So again, I'll let Mike talk about the individual variances that happened at South City Prep, but in general, there are a couple of things about charter schools that are starkly different than public schools that would make this challenging for a first or second year charter school.
I got you. So it sounds like a well-intentioned idea.
Absolutely.
And that's what people have been clamoring for, is a little bit of oversight. But as with some policies, it happens that they are attempted to apply them uniformly. And sometimes people get caught up in the inner workings. And Mike, that sounds a little bit, as you were telling me earlier, about what happened to you. So tell us a little bit about the circumstances and why this is certainly, at the very least, you know, public relations-wise, seems like a negative experience, and tell us a little bit what's behind those numbers.
Right. So actually, our budget going into last year and was very, very conservative and actually accounted for a 5% surplus. So the question is, why did we not hit our budget? Well, our expenses were about what we planned, didn't go over any. Actually, we were a little bit under what we budgeted with expenses. But we did budget in a grant called the Charter Schools Program Grant, CSP grant. It's administered by the federal government, the Charter Schools Program, a part of the federal government, and then dispersed through DESE. DESE worked for a number of months in making sure they were compliant with federal regulations and federal requirements to disperse the grant, and that those negotiations actually delayed the disbursement of our grant. We anticipated getting it in October of 2010, and we actually didn't get it until March of 2011. And so because we didn't have that grant in the fall, we did not start to, the grant was delayed, and we actually didn't get it to use all of the grant money. We didn't get all of it in hand by the end of the fiscal year. So our fiscal year runs July 1st to June 30th. By June 30th, we had about $65,000 of that grant in hand, and then the rest of it we got in July and August of this year. And so we basically had a $125,000 grant budgeted in our budget that we only were able to receive $60,000. If we were to receive the entire $125,000, and if we would have received it in October, we would have actually been at our 5% surplus, and we wouldn't have been deemed financially stressed. Now, the term financially stressed, and I have no problem with charter schools being held accountable under the same, you know, the same regulations as traditional district schools. But in our case, I felt it was a little bit unfair due to the fact that we're first year school, and it was delayed. Our payments in general are delayed, and money's extremely tight. Cade mentioned that we're not able to issue a bond, and so all of our expenses for rehabbing our building and paying for rent in our building and all these other things are paid starting July 1st of last year. But we didn't get payments from the state for the students who walk in the door on August 15th until almost September. So there's a little bit of a delay in just how the state finances work and how they reimburse you for student attendance that makes it extremely hard. And our budget was really, really tight in the fall of last year in trying to maintain a positive fund balance throughout the school year, and we did. We didn't miss payrolls. We didn't miss our rent payments. I mean, we didn't have vendors that were knocking down our door. We were able to fulfill all of our obligations, legal obligations. It was just extremely tight, which it would be if all those payments had to come out of our general fund.
Now, Mike, let me ask you. So I don't know if everyone who's listening is up on all the schools. I didn't ask you earlier. South City Prep, how long have you been operating? You're down. I know where you are because you're not far from my house on the south side. But just maybe give people a little thumbnail sketch of the school when it opened and what your particular mission is, your focus is.
Yeah, so back up. We're in the midst of our second year of operation. We opened last year with 5th and 6th grade. Now we have 5th, 6th, and 7th grade. Last year we had 75 students in attendance across 5th and 6th grade. This year we have 135 students.
Wow.
Our mission at South City Prep is to prepare all of our kids for success in college. So we're a rigorous college preparatory academy. And one of our unique pieces of our model is we have a longer school day, a longer school year, and then we're also a year-round school. So we started school on August 15th, and we didn't end until July 15th of this year. So.
Wow, fantastic. It sounds like a great approach. What do you feel is the fallout from what's happening here then with this DESE designation?
Yeah, so it is a bit of a public relations issue for us. I knew it was coming because of my sponsor, University of Missouri St. Louis, was on top of it and made us aware of it. Actually a month before the state board met, we were able to prepare just some documentation and blogs and emails, you know, to make our constituents and our stakeholders feel satisfied and not worried. But what immediately happened with the designation and coming out in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch was that, you know, I had parents who were calling and worried, is this school going to continue to exist? What does this mean for my kid? We love this school. I had teachers who walked in the door and were worried, you know, what's going on with our school? Is this going, you know, is this going to affect my paycheck? I loved working here. I had some funders. I had some people who had given us some money who were calling and wondering, you know, is the school going to continue to exist? You know, like, what's the deal here? And they were worried, you know, are you guys tracking your finances? They saw it as maybe it was an interpretation that we weren't able to handle our finances correctly, which it wasn't at all. It was a designation that was made because our budget was extremely tight in our first year of operation.
Any way around, not for you this time, but Kate, do you foresee any changes in this policy, or this is just something that's going to happen on a case-by-case basis occasionally?
No, I do think it is something that's going to happen on a case-by-case basis. I don't know. I have not talked to anybody at the Charter School Association since the last state board meeting, so I don't know if there'll be an attempt to go to the state legislature and try to fix it, or try to fix it in what we call the administrative rules process, or if we'll just continue to operate this way and it'll just become sort of common practice that new charter schools are always constantly towing this line or have to prepare a little differently, or I don't know what. I hope, you know, as Mike was telling us offline earlier, I hope charter schools don't see this as a reason to try to get more kids in their building or to do something that might be a little one-off from what would be the right way to go about it. I don't see that as something that we should worry about here in St. Louis. I think we've got a pretty good system now for identifying quality charter providers and helping them to get themselves in a position to be successful. So I live near South City Prep too. I'm glad it's there. That's why I was excited when Mike said he would come on, because, you know, I just heard a little chatter around the neighborhood and my mom's going to start volunteering there, and she heard about it and called. And so I'm glad that he was able to come on and has a good explanation. And I'm certain the other four do as well.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad we had a chance to talk about it. Hey, Mike, if anyone wants to get a hold of you, what's the easiest way for them to do that?
Right. So they can always stop by our school, 2900 South Grand here in South St. Louis, right across from Tower Grove Park. Or they can call my office, 314-881-0361. They can shoot me an email, mmalone@southcityprep.org, or they can go to our website. And actually, there's a blog on our website that explains all of what we're talking about here and our perspective on it. So it's www.southcityprep.org.
Fantastic.
All right. And they have a little neighbors. You guys are having a little neighbors get together at the school this weekend, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, neighborhood appreciation breakfast this Friday from 8:30 to 10. So if anyone wants any free breakfast and coffee and a chance to see our scholars, it's great. It should be a great time.
Fantastic. Hang on with us for a second, Mike. Kate, if people want to reach you, how can they reach you?
The best way is on my Twitter handle, which is @KatieCasas. And just like my last name, just like my name, my last name is like more than one Spanish house.
K-A-T-I-E?
Yes.
K-A-T-I-E, Casas, C-A-S-A-S. If you want to reach me, my name is Peter Franzen. You can reach me at Twitter, @PeterAFranzen, Peter A-F-R-A-N-Z-E-N. Mike, thanks for joining us today. Kate, it's always a pleasure, even though we get to talk all day about education reform. It's great to be here on the podcast, too. And we want to thank everyone who has taken the time to listen today.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, thanks for the opportunity.